J180 served up by Wendy's. John McClain with us. Time to talk some NFL headlines with the man they call the General in Houston. We call him the Man in Black here on this show. You can call him whatever you want to. I doubt John will be offended. Follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, how are you?
I couldn't be better, guys. Great weekend coming up for the NFL. Great weekend. College football. How can it be a bad weekend when you have so much good football?
You got that right. Let's start in the division. And let's start with the Titans and the Colts coming up this Sunday. You've seen the Colts. You've seen the Titans. Who do you give the edge to?
Well, I didn't get to see the real Titans because it was Blaine Gabbert and a bunch of backup tackles, and they beat the Texans by 3. The Texans went to Indianapolis and won 37-34 in overtime when Frank Reich decided he would rather not tie, would rather go for the win. Backfired, Texans won. So that was the first game in the Texans' 6-game winning streak. And I think right now, I picked the Colts because they're at home. If the Titans were at home, I would have picked Tennessee. This is a classic case of offense versus defense, and I wish I could see it. I've taped it because I want to be able to see it when I get home.
John, for those who haven't watched Indianapolis this season, and this will be the first AFC South game for the Titans in 8 weeks. Give us a look inside what that offense looks like compared to what we've seen from that offense in years past. It seems to be a lot more short passing game, quick passing, and that's really helped out the offensive line and Luck.
They have 3 number one picks in the offensive line and a second round pick. They've invested heavily. Not in the loss to the victory over Jacksonville Sunday, but in the previous 2 games, they ran the ball great. They had over 200 yards rushing in both games. And Andrew Luck will still go down the field. He got T.Y. Hilton. He threw 2 40-yard completions against the Texans. And so if they try to set him up with play action, of course, Titans got to be defense disciplined when they're playing defense. And Luck, in their 3-game winning streak, has 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. In fact, each of the 3 teams has a winning streak. And in those 3 winning streaks, the team, the quarterbacks, Luck, Mariota, and Watson, have combined for 22 touchdowns and 1 interception. So the quarterbacks are playing very, very well right now. And in the Texans and Titans cases, the defenses are playing very well. In the Texans' last 5 games, they're giving up 15.6 points. The Colts have yet to put together a good defense. I think they need another offseason where they can be on a par with the Titans and Texans.
The Lions' next 4 games are in domes. So, of course, Matt Patricia had them practice outdoor in the snow yesterday. And then he began, his press conference today, the prepared statement about why that was the right thing to do. What do you make of all that?
Well, first of all, you're one of those quarterbacks that's not in the room but is in the country. He took a shot at the media. He said, with all the quarterbacks in the room.
Head coaches in the room, I think he said.
Yeah, head coaches. That's it. I'm sorry. Head coaches, yes. So he is, it sounds to me like, so many former Bill Belichick assistants who fail as head coaches try to be Belichick. And Belichick can be arrogant and condescending because he's the greatest coach in history with multiple Super Bowls. Matt Patricia is a former defensive coordinator. It happened to Eric Mangini, Charlie Weiss. It happened now to Patricia. Bill O'Brien only coached there 5 years, and he had a bunch of different mentors, so he hasn't treated us like that. But, man, if you just dig that hole deeper, trying to justify it, the Patriots make a big deal out of practicing outside in the snow. Well, because they play outside in the snow.
And even the players there hate it.
So,
but you know, they do it, I guess. Like Patricia said, it helps these skilled players keep their feet underneath them. Well, that's fine, but when you're playing indoors, you don't have to worry about the turf. It just seems to me like he was trying to way overcoach, and then he's way too sensitive to the criticism.
John, you have been to Mexico City for an NFL game.
And loved it.
Yeah. How surprised are you with the field conditions, and more so with the NFL's lack of awareness when it came to that?
I think the NFL, that's one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened. You're going to have class action lawsuits, people suing them for money they lost. And I just cannot believe that the contract would not say an event can't be in that stadium for X number of days or weeks or whatever. And it's amazing they let it come to that. Just amazing. And they'll go back because they jack up the ticket prices and they'll sell $85,000, $90,000. Man, oh man, what an embarrassment. But it's so much better for the Rams and the Chiefs, although I got to tell you, when I watched the last Rams game, they played USC the night before. I mean, their surface is pretty bad, too.
It's not worse than the aerial view that we had of that stadium. What? I mean, that was a cow pasture.
You think the
it was a cow pasture, and it had a Shakira concert. It had soccer matches, and you know how when Shakira's shaking her hips, thinks yes. about all the people on the ground shaking her hips, which just dug them in deeper into the turf.
We know Aaron Rodgers probably going to tell people to relax, but what are you thinking about Packers' status after last night?
Well, they asked him. He was very defensive as well. Didn't like a question. They haven't won a game on the road. I think Mike McCarthy made several boneheaded decisions for coaching, so I think he's going to be gone. I think John Harbaugh is going to be gone. I think McCarthy and Harbaugh will be working somewhere else. Maybe they'll just switch cities. But, you know, I think the shelf life has run out on those two, and the Packers are going to make a move while they've still got Aaron Rodgers playing well most of the time.
Oakland, again, cannot practice because of the smoke in California. They've canceled practice again, so I believe they're only practicing one day this week in preparation for their game where they will travel to Arizona.
What's the difference?
Well, this is Raiders. This works to the Raiders' favor. You know, we asked you earlier, John, maybe 3 weeks ago now, if there have been a better example of tanking than what they've done by trading away their talent and the way they've played, and now they're not even practicing for a game.
John Gruden wants that first pick. He wants to get a quarterback. I fully expect Derek Carr to be traded at some point, and it's going to be one of the most interesting off seasons with the Raiders. But right now, I don't like anything about that team, and I'm guessing you guys don't either.
No,
I know Derek Carr's got a lot of issues right now, but given the lack of quarterback solutions in the NFL. If you're a team in need of a quarterback solution, might you give a serious look to Carr?
I think you definitely do, Paul, because before Gruden got there, he played really, really well. And I remember when they were in the play, when the Texans played the Raiders in Mexico City on Monday Night Football, and he threw three touchdown passes, two in the fourth quarter, to bring them from behind. You know, they didn't make him the highest paid quarterback for no reason. So I'm amazed, absolutely amazed at how bad he's been under John Gruden, who's supposed to be a quarterback guru. But remember, when Gruden won, he did it with quarterbacks in their mid-30s.
We're talking with John McClain, previewing the NFL weekend. We've asked our questions. Now is your chance to call in with your NFL question for this upcoming weekend for the one and only, the man in black himself, John McClain. Phone lines are open, 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
Titans and Colts this Sunday. You can hear the game right here on Titans Radio 104.5 The Zone. injury report for you based on players leaving the practice field. This is not from Vrabel yet, but from Jim Wyatt, Teron Davenport, and Terry McCormick. Linebacker Derek Morgan practiced again today. So did guard Quentin Spain and offensive lineman Corey Levin. He returned to practice
from illness.
No practice today for wide receiver Taywan Taylor. He continues to get treatment today. David Flewellen did not practice either. Taylor told the media that he's going to be a game-time decision on Sunday, and Teron Davenport tweeted out that Taylor told him he's feeling better, no stiffness with his foot. He's working on getting used to planting and change of direction. So there's details there. Titans and Colts this Sunday in Indy. Paul will be there, courtesy of MDI Construction.
If you're looking to expand, remodel, or build your business, then you should call MDI Construction, 615-384-4220. From pre-construction planning to building design on spaces from 2,000 to 50,000 square feet, MDI Construction can help. MDI Construction, the proud travel sponsor of PaulKuharsky.com.
John McClain is with us. He's covered the league since the late 70s. He can discuss all things week 11 right now. We'll get his predictions coming up. But John, calls go to the front of the line with you. We go to Sean in Lebanon. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Hey, Coach, what do you think Cowboys can do to beat Atlanta and maybe if they're consistent, get hot and kind of make a run for the playoffs. I'm going to hang up and listen. Like I said, it's an honor to talk to you guys. Thank y'all.
What do you think,
Coach?
Coach John.
Tell you what, I can't figure the Cowboys at all. They're favored over the Titans. Titans beat them by two touchdowns. They're a touchdown underdog in Philly. They beat up the Eagles. Now they're going to Atlanta. Falcons, I can't figure them. They've won three in a row. They go to Cleveland, stink it up. I know this, if the NFC East is not good, and unlike the AFC South, which is getting good and very competitive among the top three teams, the NFC East is competitive, but nobody's playing well. Cowboys are on a roller coaster. Their fans are on an emotional roller coaster. One week they want Dak Prescott gone. Next week they want him to get an extension. Same with Jason Garrett. So if the Cowboys lose to Atlanta and the Redskins beat the Texans, the Redskins are going to have a three-game lead over Dallas going into that game on Thanksgiving.
They're not any good. They just had a fluky win against another team that's not very good.
Well, but what about Atlanta, though, to what John's saying?
Atlanta's also not very good.
They're at 4-5, but one team leaves at 500, the other one drops to 4-6. So
500 and not be very good. I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan and you're getting your hopes up that something's happening this year, you're just forestalling the inevitable.
Well, do you believe Washington's winning that division? If you don't, then Dallas can still get to the postseason by not being very good.
You're probably winning the division by default if you're Washington, and then anything could happen in the playoffs, but you might be one and out on one of those playoff weekends like we saw John's team host, where a couple crappy quarterbacks and it felt like minor league football, but it was actually week one of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Washington plays after the Texans at Dallas and Philadelphia, so it's a crucial time for them.
Kyle is in Nashville to discuss the game that John will be attending. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm actually a Texans fan here in Nashville. Okay. Had a question for John and just kind of know what he thought about going into the game this weekend. Obviously, we're a three-point favorite, which I think is significantly kind of big for a road team, for a team that's leading a division in the Redskins. And kind of what do you think that the game plan will be? Do you think Demaryius Thomas will kind of be definitely a bigger factor, and how do you think the rest of the season looks coming out of the bye, which I think obviously we seem to be pretty healthy right now as far as we've been for the majority of the season so far, and I'll just kind of hang up and listen. Thanks.
This week against the Redskins and next week in that Monday night game against the Titans and Texans, barring serious injuries in Washington, will be in the best shape they've been in since the start of the season. They've, in their last five games, their defense given up 15.6 points a game. Them turn the ball over in three games. Deshaun Watson's throwing 16 times less a game and they're running the ball 35 times a game for 146 yards. It's ugly. It's not pretty, but the idea is don't expose Watson to risk from pass rushers because the offensive line's still not good, especially the tackles. Washington's got a good pass rush. The Redskins, they don't turn it over. Alex Smith is efficient. He's 5-1 against the Texans, 1-0 49ers, 4-1 with the Chiefs, and he's just tormented them. He's been one of their nemesis, so now they got to play him on the road, but there's no resemblance between this Redskins team and the team he played with last year in Kansas City. They won 42-34 in Houston despite 5 Deshaun Watson touchdown passes. So the Redskins are like water torture, a little drip at a time, but they're going to win a bad division and be 1-done, the same as their other playoff appearance under Jay Gruden.
John, Jacksonville, they continue to say, hey, we can still turn this season around. They're at 3-6, and they host Pittsburgh this week. Last year, Jacksonville won both meetings when these two teams faced off, but this is a case of two teams going in opposite directions, right?
Yeah, and there's plus the Steelers, people say, well, they got the revenge factor. Well, they had the revenge factor in the playoffs last year, and they won a shootout. I think it was like 43-40, something like that. I think Pittsburgh's going down to Jacksonville's going to beat them up by 10 or more points, and the Jaguars are headed down the tubes looking for a new quarterback. Maybe it'll be Derek Carr.
I'd like that marriage. You think that there's patience for Marone there? It's the Coughlin is a pretty deliberate guy. It would be semi knee jerk to make a change there. And Coughlin's obviously in control. What do you think about Marone's future after one good, one bad season, presuming things stay the way they are?
I think a former coach who is in charge like Coughlin is going to be very patient with a head coach because he's been there. And what amazed me, Marone is like Coughlin. He's a tough guy, straight disciplinarian. Then in the off season and during the season, you hear Jalen Ramsey ripping up people. That was so unlike Coughlin and Marone. And they got to get a handle on their own players in the building and get those guys on the same page. You know, their big problem is they're not intimidating anybody on defense. Their pass rush, which was so great last year, forced so many turnovers, it has not been like that. They're not forcing a lot of turnovers. They're not sacking the quarterback a lot, not giving up a lot of yards, but I think they're going to go from first to worst.
And this week they get their identity back with Leonard Fournette in the backfield. And this Fournette last year against Pittsburgh rushed for 290 yards and 5 touchdowns in those two games that were both victories for Jacksonville.
Maybe a much bigger factor than we think, even on the defense, the offensive's identity.
And now Pittsburgh brings their fourth-rated run defense into this game. So that's a matchup to watch.
Maybe Fournette will do that, but he didn't impress anybody Sunday with his 53 yards.
Right.
Maybe it's because it's his first game back. But it looks like he may not be the same this year at all. He'll need an entire offseason to fix that hamstring.
Let's go to Chris in Murfreesboro. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
Good. Hey, I'm a Broncos fan, Mr. John. Hey, got a question. Is there any chance for us cleaning the house? The head coach, John Elway, everybody. I'm sick of what I'm seeing in Denver. I think it's time for a change. I hang up. Love the show.
John Elway's not going anywhere, but everybody says Vance Joseph is history. You know, he almost fired him after 1 year. A lot of people were surprised when they hired Joseph after 1 year as a coordinator, and he's made a lot of bad tactical decisions and personnel decisions. So I think Denver's going to be looking for a new head coach, and John Elway's still looking for that quarterback, and I think it'll be an offensive-oriented head coach whose specialty is quarterbacks.
And I don't doubt that Elway has more time, but I will say I've read some stuff lately breaking down what he's done there. His biggest successes were early. Von Miller, the picks he made, obviously Peyton stuff, but he's due his draft record and his acquisition record has gotten a lot worse. He needs to hire a better coach and do a lot better in the acquisition department.
Well, the secret weapon in that front office, and I was talking to Jeff Legwall and some others, Gary Kubiak, who came back as kind of a scout who lived in Houston, now is called Senior Personnel Advisor. And they say Kubiak is going to play a major role in the draft and free agency, and also what quarterback comes in there that they draft probably in the first round. And they think that the only person Elway will listen to is Kubiak, his former teammate who won a Super Bowl as head coach. So that could bode well for them improving their personnel.
John, finally, have you changed your mind at all on Seattle? Can they make the postseason?
In the NFC, it's going to be hard. You know, they're good at home. They've won a couple of road games. I think we can forget about Green Bay as much as people want to think Aaron Rodgers can lead them back. But based on what Seattle did last night, they've learned to run the ball extremely well behind an improving offensive line. So they should be able in bad weather to go on the road and win if indeed they have to go to bad weather. But, yes, I think they're capable of making the playoffs.
John McClain has been our guest. John, enjoy the D.C. area, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You guys enjoy the trip to Indianapolis. That's going to be a great game.
Thanks, John.
Yep. John McClain joins us twice a week here on the show. 615-737-1045, our number. 615-737-1045. Paul, look to our left. A miracle. An everyday miracle is Chad Withrow, because he was blind and he can now see.
Behold my vision. 2015 to be exact. I messed around with glasses and contacts for far too long, and I'm sure a lot of people out there feel the same way, especially if you're like me, if you suffer from eye allergies, astigmatisms. All of that can be remedied with Loden Vision Center and their eye LASIK procedure. And great news right now at Loden Vision Centers, a private LASIK study on breakthrough eye design technology is underway at Loden. You can text the word zone to 615-615. Just text the word zone to 615-615 or call 615-559-4242 to see if you qualify. You've got to qualify first and foremost. But know that all study participants will receive a $1,500 off LASIK savings. Just text the word zone to 615-615-615 to take advantage of these savings. The only regret I had with the eye LASIK procedure at Loden Vision Centers is that I did not do it sooner. You're going to feel the same way. If you're even thinking about this, get out of those glasses, get out of those contacts, give Loden Vision Centers a call or text the word zone to 615-615 to take advantage of those savings at Loden Vision Centers.